अस्मत् गुरुभ्यो नमः, अस्मत् परम गुरुभ्यो नमः, अस्मत् सर्व गुरुभ्यो नमः। श्रीमते श्रीमंडर गोपाल श्री वेदांत देशिक यतीन्द्र महादेशिकाय नमः। श्री लक्ष्मी नृसिंह दिव्य पादुका सेवक श्रीमंडर गोपाल श्री नारायण यतीन्द्र महादेशिकाय नमः। सर्व श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु। वेलकम एवरीबडी। वी विल बी डीलिंग विद ईशावास्य उपनिषद। दिस इज द फर्स्ट ऑफ द लेक्चर्स, सो दिस इज इंट्रोडक्टरी। आई वोंट बी गोइंग इन टू मच डिटेल्स टूडे, बट आई जस्ट गिव सम ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन। The generic, please send your emails to Keshavan so that if you are a constant listener or something, we will get to know personally your phone numbers and name and things like that. And the next class, probably we will go directly into the mantras. Today I will be dealing with the introduction from the Shankara Bhashya. As you know, Ishavasya Upanishad is the first of the Upanishads in the list of about 10 or 13 major Upanishads, depending on which school of thought. And the idea is to, this lecture will start with Ishavasya Upanishad. Maybe we can continue later with other Upanishads. And in that way, we are engaging in the right activity, that is Swadhyaya and Pravachana. That is to keep our knowledge of our, basic samskaras, basic thing which India has given us, alive and well. The format would be like 30 to 40 minutes of lecture, whatever may be convenient. Please note down your questions and keep it ready so that we will leave like 20-25 minutes for question answer later on, and you can unmute yourself when you want to ask questions. And believe me, we will be dealing with the Bhashyas of Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, and Madhvacharya. Incidentally, Ramanujacharya has not written a direct Bhashya of these Upanishads, but from Ramanujacharya school, another person called Vedanta Deshika wrote the Bhashya for the Ishavasya Upanishad, and the other Upanishads were commented from the Vishishtadvaita school by another person called Rangaramanuja. So we will be dealing with the Rangaramanuja Bhashya also. So we will also deal with Madhvacharya's Bhashya. And Madhvacharya's Bhashya also is extremely terse and difficult to understand. And hence we will have to take help from the later writers like Jayatirtha and probably even Raghavendra Swami. So we will the way I thought was to go, and first I thought that I will just complete the whole of Shankara Bhashya first and then take up Madhva Bhashya, Ramanujacharya's Bhashya, and then go to Madhvacharya's Bhashya finally. I might change the way the sequence based on information what we talk about. So eventually the issue is not to confuse people, because if we confuse one school with the other, you'll never know what is happening. So it's better to keep some consistency in the information. So if we keep one Bhashya for some time, it's nice to go over it and then pick up the other Bhashya, whatever makes sense. I would like, eventually I'm going to take some feedback from every one of you to see what makes sense. And the idea here is to be to go over this Bhashya in such a way that all of us should understand Brahman, that is a Paramatma. And this, every Vedic statement starts out with the idea that Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, and all. Let us enjoy God together. Let us know God together. So the idea is not to comment or criticize any Acharya, but we have the information flowing to us through different schools of thought at this point, just to understand what this Acharya said. That is my purpose. My purpose is just to say, let's try to understand the viewpoints separately. So I'll be doing the job of a reporter to be just, just to do a truthful reporting of the information, rather than being a judge of what is right, what is wrong, this is not reasonable, that's not reasonable. All these things I don't want to get into, and I think that's a good way to first understand what these Acharyas have said. The judgment and everything is left to the individual, each person can think about whatever makes sense for them. And this, I like to make this as objective as possible, almost like how we are now studying the different theories of atom or something, like Dalton's atomic theory or Niels Bohr's atomic theory or something, as if it really doesn't matter to each of us what theory is more acceptable than the other. And also, it is said in the Shastras, Bahubhi Shrotavyam, Bahubhyah Shrotavyam. We should learn among many, and we should learn from many people. This is what is the idea of what we are trying to do. This is just a casual group study. And eventually, definitely, I'm going to open up with a lot of interaction so that we understand each other and we try to learn something and have some fun on the way. And keep also in mind that we should have tolerance to every one of us here. We are from different schools of thought, and we should understand each other's schools of thought, or each school of thought, with a lot of tolerance, tolerance to each other. The reason I'm saying is, every acharya came with the idea that person has to do something good for everybody. So public good was always at the heart of each acharya. So we have to understand that. And the other thing I would like to mention is, I'm not an expert. I'm just trying to learn like any one of you. A lot of people may know more than me. So feel free to take over and then guide us when time comes. The textbooks I am dealing with right now are the Bhashyas of Shankaracharya and Madhva Bhashya and Gita Ishavasya Bhashya from the Vedanta Deshika. I don't know if you have these books with you. One thing is available, that is the Madhva Bhashya is available, and I will put the information on the net. It's very easy. If you go to www.dvaita.net, dvaita.net, you can search around and find out the PDF file which refers to the Ishavasya Upanishad. Thanks to a number of Madhva people who have put a lot of effort into bringing that information to the public, so that's easily available. I will just follow the original Bhashyas, and when it is necessary, we can engage in a dialogue. I'd like this to be as conversational as possible. I'd like to learn from you what you're thinking. So, knowing very well that there are other people in the class, we try to use the optimum way of dealing with the situation. Okay. Is everything clear till now? You can unmute and ask me if anything is not clear. Okay, thanks. So now I'll go to the introduction of Ishavasya Upanishad. As you know, Upanishads are a treasure house of spiritual aspirations of people. Their message is what our sages, rishis, saw and felt and experienced long time back. Their eternal source of information, they are applicable to all times in future, present and past. They are divine truths. We should not think that just because they were written or they came to our knowledge long time back that they don't apply to us modern people in different countries. They verily apply to us. They are the thoughts of the sages. Mainly there are 13 major Upanishads commented to by major acharyas. There are actually about 200 or more than 200 Upanishads. In fact, I remember a number called about number somewhere like 221 as presented in an Upanishad called Muktika Upanishad. So there are a number of Upanishads, but only the 10 or 13 of them are taken to be major. And the major acharyas, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, have all commented or utilized these major Upanishads to explain the Brahma Sutras, and in many Bhashyas they are written, they use this information only mainly from the 13 Upanishads. So in this information again is slightly questionable in the sense because there may be a lot more, I would say, similar types of Upanishads being mentioned by Shankaracharya and Ramanujacharya, but Madhvacharya might have referred to number of more Upanishads which are not referred to by Shankaracharya and Ramanujacharya. This has happened in history like that. And Upanishads basically, in very short, we can say that Upanishads contain the ways to reach the highest realization. Yallabhat parolabho yatsukat na param sukham. Yallabhat na parolabho yatsukat na param sukham. Yajnanat na param jnanam. Tad brahmeti abhidiyate. There is no other greater attainment other than the Supreme Self. There is no other knowledge greater than the Supreme Self. This is known as Brahma. And this is why everyone is interested in this Shastra. This is known as Brahma, and the greatest reliable authority which can talk about Brahman is the Vedic literature. Veda Shastrat Param Nasti. It is clearly said by Vyasa. And the Puranas are the later ones. The Puranas have some issues, but they explain the Vedas. Itihasa Puranabhyam Vedam Samupabrahmayet. That means using Itihasas like Ramayana and Mahabharata and the Puranas, which are 18 and more in number. We can understand the truths of Vedas using these Itihasa and Puranas. At the same time, we have to understand Puranas in the sense only when the Puranas support the Vedic information. And sometimes the Puranas don't support the Vedic information sometimes in some aspects. Those issues have to be modified in our knowledge. So the bottom line is Vedo Akhila Dharma Moolam. All dharmas, whether it is for dharma, artha, kama, moksha, Vedas have all the information, and that is the best method, best storehouse to go to. And the main information people rely on from the Vedantic school are the Prasthanatrayas, that is the three major works. A lot of what I am talking about is quite well known to people. I'm just giving you an introduction so that everybody is aware of this information. The Prasthanatrayas are three, that is Upanishads, Brahma Sutras, and Bhagavad Gita. The people in general, people think that Upanishads are the foremost, and it has the best place among the Vedantic texts, even though the other two, that is Brahma Sutras and Bhagavad Gita, have equal value. Upanishads are a secret teaching. They are dispeller of ignorance and bondage, and that's a treasure house which offers us the greatest good for everyone. Brahma Sutras basically explain these Upanishads in a very short form known as Sutras. Upanishads is like our merciful mother and a teacher of the highest caliber. And like how a mother likes the children, and mother always wants the good of everyone. This Upanishads, which is like one of the Acharya says, Sahasra Mata Pitru Samam, that is, the Vedas are like having thousandfold father and mother. That means that much value Vedas have for everyone, and they're so merciful. That is Vedas, the information in the Vedas. That's why the Upanishads do say in some places, Shraddhatsva Somya, what it means, have faith in me, dear child. That means you may not understand what I'm talking about. First, have faith in me. You will find that this is always the truth. And in some cases, the Upanishads pours out, like almost mother is pouring her heart out, in the form of intense spiritual experience of the sages, of divinity. And sometimes, in some parts of Vedas, it is so confident, it says, వేదాహమేతం పురుషం మహాంతం. ఐ నో దిస్ ఎటర్నల్ సుప్రీం బ్రహ్మన్ విత్ కాన్ఫిడెన్స్. అండ్ ఇన్ ప్లేసెస్ ఇట్ సేస్ కస్తం మదామదం దేవం మదన్యో జ్ఞాతుం అర్హతి. ఐ సర్టన్లీ నో దిస్ గ్రేట్ పర్సన్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, హూ ఎల్స్ అదర్ దెన్ మీ కెన్ నో హిమ్, సో బిలీవ్ ఇన్ మీ. అండ్ షీ ఆల్సో దట్ ఈస్ ఉపనిషత్స్ ఆల్సో కాషన్స్ సమ్టైమ్స్ మహద్భయం వజ్రముద్యతం. ఓల్డ్ పీపుల్ లిసన్ టు మీ కేర్ఫుల్లీ, ద మోస్ట్ టెరిబుల్ థండర్ బోట్ విల్ స్ట్రైక్ యూ ఇఫ్ యూ స్ట్రే అవే ఫ్రమ్ దీస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్. సో ఇట్స్ అ వండర్ఫుల్ పీస్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ విచ్ వీఆర్ ట్రాయింగ్ టు స్టడీ నౌ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ఎనఫ్ టు సే దట్ వీ రియలీ హ్యావ్ టు గివ్ సమ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ టు దిస్, గివింగ్ అప్ అదర్ యాక్టివిటీస్ అండ్ ప్రాబబ్లీ ట్రయింగ్ టు సమ్ హౌ బై టైమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది అదర్ యాక్టివిటీస్. దిస్ సేమ్ ఉపనిషత్స్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద ట్రెజర్ హౌస్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటెడ్ by different acharyas in different ways, and we are now dealing with only 3 of such interpretations. There are other interpretations also from other acharyas. I think because of my knowledge, I guess we have to limit to these 3 interpretations at this point. And anyway, I can say that these 3 acharyas have given enough information which will tax our brains to a good extent. Now I'm going to talk about the general introduction to Ishavasya Upanishad, but before, and I will also be dealing with the Shankara Bhashya of the introduction of Ishavasya Upanishad. But before that, I want to open the floor for some question and interaction so that I can understand what you people are thinking now. Please unmute your phones and go ahead and ask any questions, any issues till now. Okay. I believe there are English translations of many, many Upanishads available. I know of all the Shankara Bhashyas, Shankaracharya's Upanishad Bhashyas pretty much available in English. I have a complete works of Shankaracharya in Kannada right now with from the Adhyatma Prakashanalaya, which is an institution in Bangalore or Holenarsipur, I think. It's probably in Holenarsipur and Bangalore. And the Madhvacharya's Upanishads are translated by, I think, K.T. Pandurangi. He probably has translated at least a few of them. And in the web, there is a lot more information. You please search the web. And there is the Shripedia, another million book project or something which the Devasthanam of Tirupati is doing. And one person, a friend of mine, I think it's Srinivas, Sriram Srinivas or something, he sends me an email. He said that many of these are being scanned into master copies and then stored in CDs or some media somewhere out there in India now. Millions of books have been already scanned in. The English versions are available pretty much on all these. Even Ishavasya Upanishad, English version is available. Dr. N.S. Anantarangacharya has written in English the explanation as per Rangaramanujacharya and probably even Vedanta Deshika's Ishavasya Upanishad in a simple way in his 3-4 books called the Principal Upanishads. And a comparative study of these Upanishads are available by S.M.S. Chari, who has written The Philosophy of Upanishads by S.M. Srinivasachari. Which compares the Shankara Bhashya, Ramanuja Bhashya and Madhva Bhashya on these 3 Upanishads. It's an amazing book. So it's a lot of information is available. Any other question? Hello, any other question? Very good question. See, what has happened is, it's a very good question. The Prabhupada ji has written on certain Upanishads, which include Ishavasya Upanishad. And my feeling is that he has a different school of thought, which is the Chaitanya Sampradaya. And this school of thought refers to, it has got several acharyas in the school who have written on the Upanishads. If I remember right, only maybe Baladeva Vidya Bhushana in the 18th century might have written something on the Ishavasya Upanishad. I am not exactly sure which is the acharya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada follows to explain the Ishavasya Upanishad. I have read that Upanishad here and there. I have not read that Ishavasya Upanishad from Prabhupada very well. I'm thinking that Madhvacharya was one of the acharyas considered in the lineage of the ISKCON and the Gaudiya Vaishnava movement. That includes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all those great people. There may be information from the Madhva school also in their philosophies. But actually, if you look at the Baladeva Vidya Bhushana's one book called the Govinda Bhashya, which is the explanation of the Brahma Sutras according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, I have to say here immediately that not all Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the Baladeva Vidya Bhushana's work as authentic or what they believe in. There is some kind of only a section. This was what one of my gurus, that is Professor Naranachar from India, who seems to have read a lot. He told me that according to what he knows, not all people from the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition accept Baladeva Vidya Bhushana as authentic guru. He was a later scholar in the 18th century. Actually, to answer your question in short, I would say Srila Prabhupada's views on the Ishavasya Upanishad would have a combination of the information from Ramanujacharya, from Madhvacharya. I think mostly it will refer to either a combination of Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, but I might add to it that there may be some works from the later people who would probably be from the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya or from Nimbarka Sampradaya or the prior works called the Tattva Sandarbha and all the Shat Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, those prior people. Some information from those schools might have been combined inside the Srila Prabhupada's version of the Ishavasya Upanishad Bhashya. Right now in our class, we will only probably talk about Shankara Bhashya, Ramanuja Bhashya and Madhva Bhashya for now. Eventually what I will do is maybe ask the class goes further, I might want to comment and try to explain what Srila Prabhupada says after looking at his book. Okay. Any other question? All right then, let me go ahead and then take up the Shankara Bhashya's introduction to the Ishavasya Upanishad. Is it all right? Can I do that now? Okay. The Upanishad starts with the Om Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Avashishyate. This is the Shanti Mantra. I'm not going to go through the meaning of this. Basically, it is that God is infinity. Brahman is infinity, and if you take anything away from the infinity, only infinity remains. This is the general idea of this Shanti Mantra. I will directly go into Shankara Bhashya right now. Do you want me to read the Shankara Bhashya and then explain it, or can I just summarize it in English? What do you want? Can we take a small what do you call, small survey here. Do you want me to read the Sanskrit and then explain the words, or just go and give you an like information summary of that? Let me do one thing. Let me give you a summary of Shankara Bhashya in English, and where and when is necessary, I will talk about his Sanskrit, I mean his direct Bhashya. In what Shankara Bhashya says here, in this Samhita means this Upanishad called Ishavasya Upanishad is taken from a Samhita of the Vedas known as the Vajasaneya Samhita. The Vajasaneya Samhita, so Ishavasya Upanishad basically forms the 40th chapter of Vajasaneya Samhita. In this Samhita, there are 39 mantras. Now I am reading actually Shankara Bhashya, so I am basically summarizing Shankara Bhashya here. So in according to Shankaracharya, there are 39 mantras prior to the Ishavasya Upanishad. So the 39 chapters probably prior to the Ishavasya Upanishad. The Ishavasya Upanishad has totally 18 mantras, and that is a combined set called the Ishavasya Upanishad. The 39 mantras, which are the 39 chapters, for example, in for instance, 39 chapters in the Samhita are only applicable to the Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda means, see, Shankaracharya makes a big difference between Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda of the Vedas. So according to Shankaracharya, there are two aspects of the Vedas. One is the Karma Kanda, which refers to the actions, the Vedic actions, yajnas and everything like that. The other is the Jnana Kanda, which refers to the nature of Brahman, nature of Atman and things like that. So according to Shankaracharya, the first 39 mantras of Ishavasya of the Vajasaneya Samhita referred only, are applicable only to the karma, that is Vedic prescribed actions. The mantra starting from Ishavasya Upanishad, that is from the word Ishavasya, the mantras of Ishavasya start with Ishavasya Midagam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjitaha Magrudah Kasya Svidhanam. This is the first mantra of Ishavasya Upanishad. This Upanishad, or whatever is contained in this Upanishad, is not applicable to the karma or the Vedic actions like yajnas. They refer only to the explanation of the real nature of Atman. The Vedic yajnas, etc., relate to the agent or a karta or a doer, which is a soul, or which are souls that transmigrate. That means they go from this life to a next life. They can get different bodies, and they are interested in different regions like Swarga and other kind of, you know, Apsaraloka or whatever. However, the subject matter of this Upanishad is pure. Hello, I think somebody has not muted. Please mute yourself with a star 6 or a mute button. However, the subject matter of this Upanishad is pure Atman or Brahman only. So according to Shankaracharya, the first portion of Vajasaneya Samhita, that is 39 chapters only refer to the karma portion, and Ishavasya Upanishad refers to the jnana portion. And for the jnana portion, it refers to Atman, pure Atman or Brahman, who is not a karta. That means he is not the doer of anything. He doesn't engage in actions of any kind, and he has nothing to do with actions. That is pure Brahman. The true nature of Atman, which is Shuddhatva. Shuddhatva means purity. Apapa Vidhatva, that means Atman is not subject to the attack of sins. So no sin can bind Atman. The pure nature of Atman is purity and not being subject to any sins or papas. Ekatva means Atman is one only. There is no multiplicity, there is no difference, there is no plurality in Atman. And Nityatva, that is Atman is eternal. And believe me, Atman, according to Shankaracharya, is same as Brahman, or Paramatma and Atma are exactly same. Nityatva is eternality. Ashariratva means Atman does not have any relation with body. It is pure, so pure Atman. Sarva Gatatva means Atman is omnipresent. It is present everywhere. All these the true nature of Atman is explained according to Shankaracharya in verses 7 and 8 of the Ishavasya Upanishad. All the description of Atman as given in this Upanishad are opposed to karma. They are opposed to activity of any sort. Hence, it is appropriate for these mantras not to be prescribed for karmas. That means the Ishavasya Upanishad should not be taken as applicable to any action or karmas or yajnas or other things. The true nature of Atman is not something which is created. That means if somebody wants to attain Atman, Atman is not something which is created. It is not something to be attained. It is not something which can be purified. It cannot be engaged in any action at all. Atman is not the doer. Atman is not the bhokta. It is not an enjoyer. And this Atman is not karta. And it is Atman is not jnata. It cannot know anything. It is jnana swarupa only. Only if something needs to be attained, that could be, something here, like creating cooked rice or something. That is purodasha. You use it for yajna. Basically, you cook rice and then use it as an offering in the yajna. That is something which can be attained. So if you want to attain, for example, you want to pass an exam, so you work on it and that's something to be attained. So you want money, wealth, or putra, whatever it is. That is something you have to do some work and then get something out of it. And there is other things like unknown things or unseen things which are swarga. Swarga is something which somebody attains after death. So, or something that can be modified is like milk which is modified into curds. Or something which is purified, that is paddy or paddy is husked and then made to rice and then converted to rice. So the rice basically comes out of paddy. All these things are something that needs to be attained, something which can be done, and these are actually subject, or these are the subjects that is dealt with by actions. Since Atman is ever attained, Atman is Nitya, Shuddha, Mukta, according to Shankaracharya, Atman is ever attained. Nitya, it is eternal. Shuddha, it is pure. In fact, in one of the verses, he says, Name Bandha Moksham. That means, I don't have any bondage. This Atman is free. Why do I have to work for moksha? So he is trying to explain the nature of Atman as eternal is not something to be attained. All these ephemeral transitory events are like swarga and all these things, transitory things like money, wealth, these are transitory. You have to work for it to get it. That is something which you get out of action. But Atman does not have anything to do with actions. Hence, the real goal of all the Upanishads is only to explain the nature of the true Atman. Hence, Ishavasya Upanishad and all the Upanishads only deal with the nature of Atman. And hence, in the Bhagavad Gita also, which talks about only this higher goal, that is Atman, Moksha Dharma also talks about this higher goal, that is Atman only. That is, the summary is that even though karma is Yajna Yagadis, are explained in the Vedas, and even though upasana means meditation, they are very strict form of prescribed meditations called the 32 Vidyas, we explained in the Upanishads and in the Vedas. They are known as Upasana or meditation. the karma and yajna yagadis and upasanas are also mentioned in the Vedas. But mukti can be attained not because of upasana, not because of meditation, not because of actions or yajnas, yagadis and all those things. Mukti can be attained only by atmajnana, that is the knowledge of Atman according to Shankaracharya. Hello, I am hearing a lot of noise. Can you please make sure that your phone is muted? I am hearing a lot of noise from one phone. So, is it clear till now that Shankaracharya basically summarizes and says that knowing Atman, Atmajnana is the cause for mukti, and no actions, yajna, yagadis or upasana of any kind, any actions will not give us moksha according to Shankaracharya. Hence, he says further, views such as there are several Atmans, Atman is the doer of the work and enjoyer of the fruits, and Atman is impure, or Atman is subject to papa or punya or sins and things like that. These kind of views are held by ordinary lay people. Keeping them in mind, Vedas have described and prescribed karmas such as yajnas, yaga and all those things for different kinds of aspirants, different kinds of adhikaris, different kinds of people with different qualifications who are very interested in attaining a real concrete goal, such as Brahmavarchas. Brahmavarchas is if you do some Vedic rites or austerities, you can become very brilliant and mentally you become very sharp. So that is a concrete goal, to have Brahmavarchas or to attain brilliance. That is a very seen goal which can be really tested out and you can attain it. Or there are some unseen goals like Swarga and you know something like that. Indraloka or some kind of Gandharvaloka or whatever it is. These are unseen goals. After death, somebody is supposed to get that Swarga or some unseen goal. So if people are interested in such things like Swarga or some kind of fruits of these karmas, only that person, who of course should not have disqualifications such as blindness or short hands or some kind of disease or something like that, only that person is qualified to do yajna, yagas and other things prescribed in the Vedas. People who know the rules regarding its qualifications, such as the Mimamsakas, if you can see the Shabarabhashya of the Mimamsa, it talks about what kind of people can really do the yajna, yagadis, what is the qualification of the Hota, Udghata and all the different Ritviks. And all these different people who can act and perform the Vedic karmas. So the bottom line is, lay people are the people who do yajna karmas and all ritual karmas as said in the Vedas. So the brilliant people know that Atmajnana is the only cause for moksha, and they can directly attain moksha through Atmajnana according to Shankaracharya. Hence he says, he further continues, just a second, please. Hence, these mantras of Ishavasya Upanishad, according to Shankaracharya, teach the real nature of Atman and remove the natural ignorance regarding the knowledge of Atman, which are many. This is known as Maya or Avidya or all these problems which mind gives us, and all these problems which are in front of us. So the mantras help us to remove this natural ignorance, ajnana, and also instruct us with the information such as Atman is one, which helps us to destroy the world experience. That means the samsara feelings of samsara, the world experience, or samsara dharmas, which has problems and which is dukkha as one of the major issues. Hence, we have explained, according to Shankaracharya has explained, information regarding the qualifications or who is qualified to study Upanishads, who is not qualified to study Upanishads. A person who is qualified to do actions and yajnas, they are people who are going after some kind of wealth, or wealth here or wealth hereafter. And in short, Shankaracharya summarizes that the adhikari or the qualified person who can learn and understand Upanishads and who will benefit from the Upanishads is a mumukshu or person interested in moksha of some kind. The information given in the Upanishads is the nature of the Atman, and this information will give us mukti. And so the prayojana of this whole exercise is mukti, and this is the benefit of the Upanishad. This is the summary of the introduction given by Shankaracharya to Ishavasya Upanishad. Actually speaking, each acharya differ from other in different ways. All I want to do in this particular lecture, since we have 15 or 14 more minutes, I like to ask you, now you can unmute yourself and try to understand what Shankaracharya is saying, and tell me whether you have understood or if you have any questions. Hello, are you there? Yeah. Okay, let me tell you what the meaning is. See, let me try to explain where things are here from a different approach. Think about an analogy here, which is a famous analogy given by Shankaracharya in a different place. So I'm trying to explain it using some other bhashyas, some other places where Shankaracharya has explained. This is the analogy of snake rope. What it is suppose you're walking in the dark, and suddenly you see a curved thing, something long lying there. You suddenly mistake it to be a snake, and you just run away from there in fear. Then you find somebody there on the road, and then that person comes out and tells you that, oh Keshava, don't worry, that's not really a snake, let me show you. And he has a torch in his hand, and he shows the torch out there. And immediately you find out that it is just a rope. Then your fear goes away. Similarly, what Shankaracharya is saying is, this whole universe is an illusion. It is like the snake. Including the seer, or including the actor, or the jiva, or what we call as the person, as a I, or something like that. The whole I and this, what we see as this world experience, everything is illusory. And what is true is the rope, the underlying rope, or the underlying Brahman. So when he says, how can one know Atman? That's a very good question. Who is the knower there, right? Who is the knower? And how can you know Atman? Here, it is very important to understand this idea. You asked a very good question. Here, if you think about this, that his answer, or Shankaracharya's or Advaitic answer to your question is, say that we are in illusion. So, say that we are dreaming, right? In the dream, suppose you get a very bad dream or something like that, you are suddenly extremely upset and you wake up. So, something which is realized in your dream experience has made you wake up and come to the real world. Similarly, what Shankaracharya says is when you understand this Atma Swarupa by the help of the Upanishads and basically from the Upadesha of a Guru, and you suddenly, if your maturity level is right, if your mind is functioning right, and if you have the right samskaras, if once you get the message like Tattvamasi, you are that Brahman or something like that, immediately you will realize Brahman, according to one school of Shankaracharya, one school of Advaita. There is different schools of Advaita, but here Atmajnana means basically understanding Atmajnana through Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. That means listening to Upanishads, Manana, thinking about it. Nididhyasana, meditation, well, meditation does not directly help you according to Shankaracharya. Meditation basically purifies your mind so that mind is ready for that Atmajnana. Is this clear? Okay, any other question? Hello. Hope whatever I'm talking makes sense. I mean, I like to hear from you. Almost every one of you, I like one comment from each person, please. Even if you don't have a question, anything, if you find it something is not right, or if you want some other method or whatever it is, please come back and say. I hope the fundamental idea is clear, that I just want to explain what these acharyas have said. Is that a good exercise to know what these acharyas have said before coming to an internal conclusion that what might be right and what you want to do? That's a different issue. Definitely. Sure. See, basically what I have done here is I have put it into English first. And since English is free-flowing, people can understand what it is. That's why I summarized in English. And I can definitely go word by word or sentence by sentence. Even for this, for example, do you want me to go through the whole of this first introduction from Shankara in Sanskrit now? Okay, sure. See, do you want me to go over the Bhashya and give one-line explanation? Okay, we have five more. If we can extend for a few more minutes, right?
I think so.
Okay, can I hear something from the other people, please? Is it okay if I go through this Bhashya now? Yeah, see, I gave you the free-flowing way only because it's easier to understand initially. But I'll just give you the original, that way people who want to know the Sanskrit also will know something about it.
Yeah, I don't know Sanskrit, so it doesn't matter to me.
That's why I wanted to be English first. But I'll just read it anyway for the other people. Yeah, Keshava, I'm assuming, doing it in English, it's easier, Keshava. Many people may not follow the Sanskrit, but I can read it and tell you maybe separately. Okay. Any other question? How are you, Devan? Oh, don't worry, I have tried to record it. I hopefully can email you this recorded MP3 or some kind of a file I have. I'm using an Audacity, a free program on the computer. I'm just directly recording it.
I hope it's intelligible. Actually, emailing may be very difficult. This has to be hosted on a particular site, and people have to be access it through some other way.
Oh, I see. Any form of access?
Yeah, since you're local in San Diego, I'll give you a disc or some CD or something like that. No big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other question? Any other suggestions also? Next time what I will do is I will go through a few mantras from the Shankaracharya's view, and then we will stop at a particular level and then go back to Ramanuja Bhashya, that is the Vedanta Deshika's Bhashya, and then go to Madhva Bhashya. Is that all right?
Yep, you'll do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, then if you don't have any questions, we'll stop here. Let us know or send us email. Please identify yourself and then be more interactive. That'll be easier for me.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to sign up then.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Bye. Yeah?
Thanks a lot. It was very good. And I think Ed Gershon suggested it will be, you can read the Sanskrit Bhashya.
Yeah, who is this? I didn't understand.
Akumda,
okay, we will read the Sanskrit Bhasha anyway. See, this time, I usually read the Sanskrit Bhasha and say line by line. This time, I somehow made it simpler, and that's why I did it. Next time, I will read the Sanskrit Bhasha.
Yeah, I mean, the simpler, I just want to hear the Sanskrit Bhasha.
Oh, definitely. Next time, we will do that. And in fact, next time, I can summarize the Shankara view by reading the Sanskrit Bhasha and saying it.
Okay.
Okay? All right, thank you. Bye.